Los Angeles. You're listening to Kill Radio. Kill Radio. In Los Angeles. You're listening to Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio. In Los Angeles. You're listening to
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
In Los Angeles.
Kill Radio.
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 In Los Angeles.
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio.
Kill Radio. You hear Rowan Kirk, you know it's time for the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour with Squeals. So what I do is I just have reached out and I've just stolen all kinds of audio bits and pieces, just like we do music, except that it's kind of about learning. It's about Le Guy Savoir, that's what it's all about, the joy of learning. And that's what we're doing today here on the Impressionistic News, and let's dig Rowan Kirk for a couple minutes. Press your ears up close against the speakers, get ready, it's time for the Kill Radio Thursday Impressionistic News.
Understand the universe on extremely small scales, we have to use our other set of laws, quantum mechanics. And as we'll see, quantum mechanics paints a picture of space so drastically different from general relativity that you'd think they were describing two completely separate universes. To see the conflict between general relativity and quantum mechanics, we need to shrink way, way, way down in size. And as we leave the world of large objects behind and approach the microscopic realm, the familiar picture of space, in which everything behaves predictably, begins to be replaced by a world with a structure that is far less certain. And if we keep shrinking, getting billions and billions of times smaller than even the tiniest bits of matter, atoms and the tiny particles inside of them, the laws of the very small, quantum mechanics, say that the fabric of space becomes bumpy and chaotic. Eventually, we reach a world so turbulent that it defies common sense. Down here, space and time are so twisted and distorted that the conventional ideas of left and right, up and down, even before and after, break down. There's no way to tell for certain that I'm here, or here,
or both places at once.
Or maybe I arrived here before I arrived here.
This is the weekly news and review from Harpers.org website, posted Tuesday, March 29th, 2005, by Paul Ford. This is for the Thursday, March 31st, 2005, Thursday Impressionistic News Hour. And let's not forget that this covers the week before Tuesday, so I have some updates, too. In Minnesota, an overweight, loner, Chippewa, neo-Nazi, goth teenager shot and killed his grandfather and his grandfather's girlfriend, then went to his high school and shot and killed a security guard, five students, a teacher, and himself. Gives me hope. National Rifle Association suggested that such rampages could be stopped if teachers armed themselves. Foghat's guitarist died, and Florida lawmakers were considering an academic freedom bill of rights intended to stamp out leftist totalitarianism that would allow students to sue teachers who insist that evolution is factual. How about that? Several IMAX theaters in the American South decided not to show a film about volcanoes because it might offend Christians who don't believe in evolution, and a study found that the stealing habits of rhesus monkeys are similar to those of humans. Ozzy Osbourne said that in times of loneliness, he talks to his knees, and John Edwards was studying poverty. The Pentagon refused to let a soldier's mother photograph her dead son's casket as it returned from Iraq. It was reported that when American soldiers in Iraq shot at the car of Giuliano Sgrena, an Italian hostage who had just been released, they shot from behind, without warning, far from any checkpoint, and within the green zone. The Iraqi military announced that a 17-hour operation against an Iraqi insurgent training camp had resulted in 85 deaths. Other Iraqi officials placed the toll at 40. There were 2,000 attacks by insurgents every month in Iraq, and as many as 5,000 Iraqis have been kidnapped in the last 8 months. Terry Schiavo, a brain-dead woman in Florida, was still alive when this was originally written. Of course, the vegetable died this morning, and immediately a priest came out and accused everybody of murder. Especially, I guess, the Supreme Court, who refused to hear a case brought by Terry Schiavo's parents, to force the reinsertion of Schiavo's feeding tube. Don't you think it's odd that a woman who was bulimic and throwing up all the time and had a heart attack because she had so weakened herself from this bulimia, then has been kept alive by force feeding? Of course, she's dead now. Outside of Schiavo's hospice, protesters knelt in anguished prayer. Many wore red tape across their mouths with the word life written on the tape. Disabled protesters cast themselves from their wheelchairs onto the driveway, shouting. There were 7-year-old and 13-year-old kids out there protesting, too. Schiavo's parents eventually asked the protesters to go home. A North Carolina man was arrested for trying to have both Schiavo's husband and the judge who denied the request to reinsert the feeding tube killed, and a man who wanted to rescue Schiavo was arrested for attempting to steal a gun from a Florida gun shop. Senator Bill Frist, a doctor who as a Harvard medical student adopted pound cats as pets, then killed them to practice his surgical technique, diagnosed Schiavo from afar, suggesting that her condition could improve. In fact, he even said that she was lucid. And it was discovered that Tom DeLay permitted his brain-dead father to be taken off life support in 1988, even though his father lacked a living will. Well, of course, he felt so bad about that years later that he had to do this. Most of America thought Congress should shut the fuck up about Terri Schiavo. Only 17% of large and medium-sized employers were fully covering the cost of their employees' health premiums, and 20,000 people died of poverty just today on this planet. Russian doctors grew a penis on a man's arm, and a California woman eating chili at a Wendy's restaurant bit into a human finger. The finger had a manicured nail. A 10-year-old Vermont boy won a national smelly sneaker contest. The stank, he said, was from rubbing my toes back and forth and making them sweaty. The president of Kyrgyzstan fled the country. Jimmy Carter and James Baker were picked to lead a bipartisan commission on American electoral reform. Carter vowed to make Americans proud again. That's hard. President G.W. Bush's approval rating was at 45%, the lowest of his presidency. Only 32% of those polled thought that economic conditions were good or excellent. Less than half of Americans supported the president's plan for Social Security, and a 13-year-old Arizona girl threw an egg at the president's motorcade. She was arrested. 15 people died in an explosion at a BP oil refinery in Texas. The United States approved the sale of U.S. F-16 fighter jets to Pakistan, upsetting India. I wonder why. United States was also planning to sell fighter jets to India. Venezuela ordered 100,000 assault rifles from Russia. Donald Rumsfeld said that was too many. The Department of Homeland Security announced that the department had misinformed the public about copying the records of 12 million passengers on America West, American Airlines, Continental, Delta, Frontier, and JetBlue. GW was showing the world his frisky, impolicity fun side, telling a Belgian television correspondent that she had great eyes and rubbing bald heads for luck. There was an outbreak of avian flu in North Korea, and scientists found that some species of octopus can walk on two arms. Western Christians celebrated Easter. In the Philippines, 14 men were crucified, one for the 19th time. At a mall in Michigan, a 12-year-old boy punched the Easter Bunny in the nose, and a priest dripped some wine onto Terri Schiavo's tongue. 78% of Americans believe that Christ rose from the dead. And then two planets, HD 209458b and TRES-1, were discovered near different stars. New Yorkers were bothered by the delays in their subway service, which are often announced via old, half-broken loudspeakers, making pronouncements like, "Ladies and gentlemen, because of Bridger Fritzdale at 116th Street, the Uptown 6 train will frip deep group." An Ohio judge threw out domestic violence charges brought by a woman against her live-in boyfriend who slapped and pushed her, because Ohio's anti-gay marriage law prohibits state or local government from enforcing laws that create or recognize a legal status of unmarried individuals. Ken Melman, chair of the Republican National Committee, once again avoided saying that he is gay, and Anita Bryant was still alive. Israel was preparing to attack Iran's nuclear facilities with helicopters, guns, and dogs, and Mexican hitmen were found to have dissolved their enemies in acid. The Pope was speechless. Starbucks came to Guantanamo Bay. Ugandans marched against Bob Geldof, and a naked man chased seagulls across a Mississippi beach. I'm telling you, what a week. That's the weekly news and review from Kill Radio and Harpers.org.
Major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing.
Happy birthday to you.
Have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, happy birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? And stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either.
How about trying this future on for size?
Even better, burn them CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better.
Spectators, but not participants.
You can't legislate people's behavior.
To find out more about what you can do, check out Downhill Battle.
Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars, they pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit. Thank you very much. But I want you to know something. This is sincere. I want you to know, when it comes to believing in God, I really tried. I really, really tried. I tried to believe that there is a God who created each of us in his own image and likeness, loves us very much, and keeps a close eye on things. I really tried to believe that, but I got to tell you, the longer you live, the more you look around, the more you realize something is fucked up. Something is wrong here. War, disease, death, destruction, hunger, filth, poverty, torture, crime, corruption, and the ice capades. Something is definitely wrong. This is not good work. If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed. Results like these do not belong on the resume of a supreme being. This is the kind of shit you'd expect from an office temp with a bad attitude. It's just between you and me. In between you and me, if in any decently run universe, this guy would have been out on his all-powerful ass a long time ago. And by the way, I say this guy because I firmly believe, looking at these results, that if there is a God, it has to be a man. No woman could or would ever fuck things up like this. So, if there is a God, if there is, I think most reasonable people might agree that he's at least incompetent and maybe, just maybe, doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit. Which I admire in a person and which would explain a lot of these bad results. So rather than be just another mindless religious robot, mindlessly and aimlessly and blindly believing that all of this is in the hands of some spooky incompetent father figure who doesn't give a shit, I decided to look around for something else to worship, something I could really count on. And immediately, I thought of the sun. Happened like that. Overnight, I became a sun worshiper. Well, not overnight, you can't see the sun at night. First thing the next morning, I became a sun worshiper. Several reasons. First of all, I can see the sun, okay? Yeah. Unlike some other gods I could mention, I can actually see the sun. I'm big on that. If I can see something, I don't know, kind of helps the credibility along, you know? So every day I can see the sun as it gives me everything I need. Heat, light, food, flowers in the park, reflections on the lake, and occasional skin cancer. But hey, at least there are no crucifixions, and we're not setting people on fire simply because they don't agree with us. Sun worship is fairly simple. There's no mystery, no miracles, no pageantry, no one asks for money, there are no songs to learn, and we don't have a special building where we all gather once a week to compare clothing. And the best thing about the sun, it never tells me I'm unworthy. Doesn't tell me I'm a bad person who needs to be saved, hadn't said an unkind word, treats me fine. So, I worship the sun, but I don't pray to the sun. Know why? I wouldn't presume on our friendship. It's not polite. I've often thought people treat God rather rudely, don't you? Asking trillions and trillions of prayers every day, asking and pleading and begging for favors, do this, give me that, I need a new car, I want a better job. And most of this praying takes place on Sunday, his day off. It's not nice, and it's no way to treat a friend. But people do pray, and they pray for a lot of different things. You know, your sister needs an operation on her crotch. Your brother was arrested for defecating in a mall. But most of all, you'd really like to fuck that hot little redhead down at the convenience store. You know, the one with the eye patch and the club foot. Huh? Can you pray for that? I think you'd have to. And I say, fine, pray for anything you want. Pray for anything. But what about the divine plan? Remember that? The divine plan. Long time ago, God made a divine plan. Gave it a lot of thought, decided it was a good plan, put it into practice. And for billions and billions of years, the divine plan has been doing just fine. Now you come along and pray for something. Well, suppose the thing you want isn't in God's divine plan. What do you want him to do? Change his plan? Just for you? Doesn't it seem a little arrogant? It's a divine plan. What's the use of being God if every rundown schmuck with a $2 prayer book can come along and fuck up your plan? And here's something else, another problem you might have. Suppose your prayers aren't answered. What do you say? Well, it's God's will. Thy will be done. Fine, but if it's God's will and he's going to do what he wants to anyway, why the fuck bother praying in the first place? Seems like a big waste of time to me. Couldn't you just skip the praying part and go right to his will? It's all very confusing. So to get around a lot of this, I decided to worship the sun. But, as I said, I don't pray to the sun. You know who I pray to? Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Two reasons. First of all, I think he's a good actor, okay? To me, that counts. Second, he looks like a guy who can get things done. Joe Pesci doesn't fuck around. In fact, Joe Pesci came through on a couple of things that God was having trouble with. For years, I asked God to do something about my noisy neighbor with the barking dog. Joe Pesci straightened that cocksucker out with one visit. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a simple baseball bat. So I've been praying to Joe for about a year now. And I noticed something. I noticed that all the prayers I used to offer to God and all the prayers I now offer to Joe Pesci are being answered at about the same 50% rate. Half the time I get what I want, half the time I don't. Same as God, 50-50. Same as the four-leaf clover and the horseshoe, the wishing well and the rabbit's foot, same as the mojo man, same as the voodoo lady who tells you your fortune by squeezing the goat's testicles. It's all the same, 50-50. So just pick your superstition, sit back, make a wish, and enjoy yourself. And for those of you who look to the Bible for moral lessons and literary qualities, I might suggest a couple of other stories for you. You might want to look at The Three Little Pigs. That's a good one. Has a nice, happy ending. I'm sure you'll like that. Then there's Little Red Riding Hood, although it does have that X-rated part where the big bad wolf actually eats the grandmother, which I didn't care for, by the way. And finally, I've often always drawn a great deal of moral comfort from Humpty Dumpty. The part I like the best, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's because there is no Humpty Dumpty and there is no God. None, not one, no God, never was. In fact, I'm gonna put it this way. If there is a God, may he strike this audience dead. See, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Everybody's okay. All right. Tell you what. I'll raise the stakes a little bit. If there is a God, may he strike me dead. See? Nothing happened. Oh, wait. Got a little cramp in my leg. And my balls hurt. Plus, I'm blind. Oh, now I'm okay again. Must have been Joe Pesci, huh? God bless Joe Pesci. Thank you all very much. Joe bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So long back in the city, I've been taken for lost, they've gone, and I know for a long, long time. Fell in love years ago with an innocent girl from a Spanish and Indian home of the heroes and villains. Late at night, Cotillion squared the fight, and she was right in the rain of the bullets that eventually brought her down. But she's still dancing in the night and afraid of what a dude'll do in a town full of heroes and villains.
Doobie-doobie-doobie-doo.
Skilly-bop.
Doobie-doobie-doobie-doo.
Doobop-doobop-doobop.
Doobie-doobie-doobie-doo.
Kid-booty-man, booza-booza-be, booza-cookin'-ne. Bourgeois, bourgeois, bourgeois. Pas pour si bien qu'on n'a pas joué pour toi. Take two, take two, take two, take two, take two, take two. Stand up, all I know, there will be peace in the valley. And it's all an affair of my life. Heroes and villains. You know, they suddenly rise. They started slow long ago, head to toe, healthy, wealthy, and wise. I've been in this town so long, so long to the city. I'm thick with the stuff to ride in the rough. At Sunny Dot Snuff, I'm alright. For the heroes and villains.
Doobie doobie doobie.
I've been in this town so long to the city. I'm thick with the stuff to ride in the rough. At Sunny Dot Snuff, I'm alright. With the heroes and villains.
Yeah, that's Geraint Watkins doing Brian Wilson's masterpiece song, Heroes and Villains, on the Impressionistic News Hour. And of course, that was George Carlin before going on and on and on about how there is no God.
In the quantum world, you just can't pin everything down. It's an inherently wild and frenetic place.
The laws in the quantum world are very different from the laws that we are used to. And is that surprising? Why should the world of the very small at an atomic level, why should that world obey the same kind of rules and laws that we are used to in our world with apples and oranges and walking around on the street? Why would that world behave the same way?
The fluctuating, jittery picture of space and time predicted by quantum mechanics is in direct conflict with the smooth, orderly, geometric model of space and time described by general relativity.
Welcome!
Recordings made with no apparent input.
We think.
Talk. At random and put in a phrase. In the hope that some of you will carry these experiments further. Anything put out up to now is like pulling a figure out of the air. We see Tibet through the binoculars of the people.